Welcome, everyone, to another special episode of Brainstorm Brewery. Yes, we're here. Are we really here? Is this episode 300 that we talked about forever and ever? I mean, you've been through episode 299 point, I don't know how many, but it was a lot of them. It was some good episodes. And you probably don't even know who I am, actually. But, you know, I'm here with my other co-hosts and I think a guest as well. But let's start off. Let's go down the line. The other person you probably haven't heard of before in a long time, or maybe you have, but you heard him sooner than me, but not as often as our
What
guest.
Are you? What? What did you just say?
That was perfect. Everything he said made sense.
He's making up for all the lost intros. He just got a rail one off for three minutes.
I understood every word.
I did too. It was perfect. You're just not synced up, Jason.
It's good to have you back, Marcel.
Indeed. I'm drinking this brewery right here. That's what's getting me good. You can see the picture right there. A nice tart.
Yeah, I don't have scotch. The bottle of mine, but I got some monkey shoulder. A little scotch this evening.
I'm not sure my body can handle alcohol
before these chips we're eating in about 45 minutes. So,
I'm just sitting here staring at it.
I've been saving this. This is Shorts Batch 8000. This is gonna mess me up.
This is gonna be a rough night, everybody.
Oh yeah, this is gonna be the worst night of my life.
I can't wait to watch this. So we're technologically stupid, and they couldn't figure out how to get it so we can all watch each other.
That's true.
So we don't get to watch.
We
this
figured
live,
it out.
So I
just get to hear all Corbin the choking didn't want to put in the work.
Well, yeah, that's fine too. It's pretty much the same thing. Either way, technology is not our friend. So we get to watch this later on for the first time too, and actually see reactions. But tonight we get to at least hear each other's misery, and by each other's I mean the three of them.
Honestly, technology
is on the side of Ryan today. He actually troubleshooted me logging on to OBS, and he did it within less than a minute.
One thing he didn't do was trouble. He definitely didn't troubleshoot it. He troubleshooted it.
There you go. Yeah.
Troubleshot it?
Corbin, you have the second worst grammar on the podcast.
I'm a professional writer.
I know.
And editor. Anyways, this is it, everybody. This is episode 300, part one. We've got Ryan and Marcel back on. So we hopefully got some old people here. So in that case, hey, that's Corbin, DJ, and Jason from the last 100 or so episodes. But 300, we wanted to make a big deal. We just got done recording 200. You'll be able to hear that pretty soon. And we wanted to bring everyone back on for 300 here. And we're eating these chips. So we're going to have a pretty fun episode tonight and then hopefully not die.
I mean, I'm not going to die. I think I'm going to wish that I would die.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah.
So what are these chips? I've never heard about them.
You don't know about the one chip challenge, bro?
I do not.
Oh, my gosh. All right. I'm holding it up to the TV here for everyone else at home. This is the I don't know. I don't know how you say it. Tortilla chips. It says inside, one deadly chip. Carolina Reaper Madness, Deadly Heat, the One Chip Challenge. This was a big deal that went around a few years ago, and they were doing it. You know, it's on news stations and stuff like that. The idea is you give people these chips, and oftentimes this would be something that a producer would do, and the talent on air didn't know about. They just ate a chip, and they don't understand that it's just not a spicy chip. It's not a hot food. It is a Carolina Reaper chip. That's like 8 trillion Scoville units or whatever that means. That's apparently the hotness scale. But this is a big deal that people were, you know, doing the challenge, like all these stupid challenges that people do and the kids and the hip kids do or whatever. We want to be like that. So we made it
a
Patreon goal.
But instead of raising money for ALS research, we are raising money for our own Patreon.
Yeah. Patreon hit the goal we set for it a while back that we literally never thought we would hit. And how we are doing these chips as a result.
This is like Jason having to do the Guy Fieri.
Yeah,
right.
I thought we'd never get to 500. Now we're at 1500.
It's worth noting that the only Patreon goals that we consistently hit are the masochistic ones.
That's true. Jason did that, it shot up because people just wanted to see it happen.
Yeah,
and then it like went way back down after it happened, which is fine. I mean, it's not like we're stressing about it one way or another. But then we did these chips. So we were like, okay, we learned our lesson. We're not going to let this thing hit 1,500 for one day and then you know, commit to it. So we waited until it stayed at 1500 for an entire month. And somehow since then, since we bought these chips a couple weeks ago, and, you know, we've been there for more than a month and we got more patrons and we're still above 1500. So we just have no excuse but to do these now.
We
got to
do it. It's going to kill us.
This is fantastic.
We've been spending all day. We've been legitimately strategizing about how to do this.
I haven't. I just sat down.
Got the milk on hand. You texted me and said you were getting ice cream.
That's not how, day. That was 20 minutes before.
I consulted some friends of mine who are, I guess I would say, connoisseurs of spicy food. And they gave me some hot tips for the hot chips.
What are the hot tips, DJ? Share
hot tips for hot... You get out of here. I wish I could punch you right in the throat.
I knew he was going to be angry about this.
I was trying to let it go, man. You just so you can't acknowledge
that was, it. That was so bad.
No, nah, Jason can't let that go.
What are the hot...
What is this, 7 a.m. on the Fox Channel 8? You're interviewing some lady whose kitten got stuck in a tree, and then we're going to do the hot chip challenge with the producer. Summertime's here. We got some hot tips for hot chips.
I'm asking for a friend, hot tips for DJ, hot chicks. What are the tips? Worse.
First, you have to consume at least 6 pounds of Buffalo Wild Wings per week to prepare yourself. So
I'm in.
So you're fine. That's all the preparation you need. Don't even listen to my strategy or tactics. On one note, though, I did receive a message from a local friend of mine who is also a fan of the podcast, and he said that he will buy me Fogo if I can at least make it convincing enough that it appears that I have survived the chip better than you, Corbin.
Oh, I see.
There's a standing offer on the table from a friend of mine who is also a Patreon supporter who says he will buy me Fogo if I can brave the storm and make it. I don't have to actually.
So what? Here's a question. What is your guys' tolerance for heat?
Zero.
Where are you at?
Less than zero. Wait.
Tell me. What do you mean zero? Like, what can you?
I'm the guy that walks into Taco Bell and asks for like, can you scrape the sauce off the meat? Like, that's.
Oh wow.
You're in trouble, man.
What about you?
He's gonna die.
I know.
No, yeah. Like, do you have like your phone ready with 911 dials?
I have zero tolerance for spicy food.
Oh, you're like, gonna! Oh, this is gonna be great for you.
Is your wife like ready to call an ambulance? Because that may be what the result of this is.
Yeah,
no, it's not. Corbin's
actually prepared because that Buffalo, Buffalo Wild Wings hot is hotter than I would like Wild Wings. You know,
I used to get the Blazin' Wings just for fun. Like, I think I'll be okay. We'll see.
I'm good. I'm a little worried about DJ. The spiciest thing I eat is sriracha.
Really? Like, see, I don't know what that means.
That's me. That's my tolerance for pain. Is sriracha is like that the upper limit. Oh, past man. That, I kind of don't. It's not as comfortable for me. I could do it, but I don't like it. But sriracha is like my perfect heat for tolerance level and flavor and everything.
This is oddly the second time in 1 week I've watched like some sort of spicy challenge. Last night was my buddy's birthday.
I put Cholula on everything. I might be okay.
Yeah, well, last night we were over at my buddy's place for his birthday, and they bought all the sauces for Hot Ones, if you guys have watched that on YouTube.
Yeah.
So they do, like, a live interview, and they do 8 different wings, and they do different grades of hot sauce all the way up to, you know, extremely spicy. You really would never actually eat this except for a prank. And the reaction, there's actually a video on YouTube. I should get the link to put on here. But the reactions in the last wing are pretty good. But I'm excited to see 2 times in 2 days. So we'll see how you guys fare versus them.
Some people, like Kyle Kinane, just murdered him. He went back for seconds on the hottest sauce.
Yeah. Some people can. And some people, like, I think it was DJ Khaled was out on, like, the third one.
Hmm. Yeah. It's like, see, he pretended the wings were pussy and didn't eat them.
Is that some sort of pop culture reference I don't get?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know that one. Come on, Corbin. Dude.
Just checking. I don't even know what a DJ Khaled is.
You're lying. There's no way, because he announces himself on every song, and there's no way you haven't heard a song.
I mean,
well, he hasn't announced himself on any country songs.
He probably has, to be fair. I mean,
he's dating Taylor Swift right now.
Don't mess with me like that. Do not go there.
What? What's wrong? This soft spot, Corbin?
That's her boo. What are you talking about, Corbin? You should know this.
I'm looking it up right now. Don't you?
That's your competition.
Yeah.
That's your competition.
That is my one, man.
And plus, he doesn't go down on her, so, like, you got something to offer.
Does he, though? We don't know that Corbin does either, to be fair.
It doesn't say that they're a couple.
Oh, you're looking at, that's fake news. You're looking at the wrong website.
See, I wasn't 100%.
DJ Gullible. Blah,
blah. But I was in the 95th percentile. Corbin just dove right in. He was.
There's no way. I have to know, man.
It hit a sore spot. Taylor Swift. Don't mess with her. You already heard
look,
it.
Look, I'm just so disappointed in her most recent
So wait,
album,
how do you feel about how do you feel about Kanye, then?
Oh, my God.
How do you feel about the whole Kanye thing? If you're really that big a fan of T-Swift.
You're really bad, like, Ryan. You just bet. That reference
no,
is so
no,
dated.
No.
I mean, how do you feel about that?
But it just keeps going, right? It's not like a dead thing. Like, it keeps going.
You know, that
like,
she was in on the publicity
dead,
stunt.
Like
she was not
mom.
In on the publicity
stunt. Oh, yes, she was.
I'm
she
pretty
was
sure
not
it was
in
like,
on publicity. No, she wasn't, bro.
I'm pretty sure she was.
Yeah.
You think what is in this podcast?
wait.
This is pop culture.
You think you think she was in on the MTV Movie Awards thing or whatever VMAs?
No, I think the beef between them and making money off of like calling each other out online and stuff and all the new followers and
they probably worked it out between them beforehand for publicity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Good what money. I know Corbin is said, that she
Corbin's
she,
trying to know sir that
she did not know that he was going to call her a bitch. That was messed up.
Was it though?
Didn't she drop an album on the anniversary of his mom's death or something?
Yeah,
that was pretty cool, dude.
I think she agreed that she said that I had sex with Taylor Swift, and that was part of the lyrics that he used.
Yes,
and
his
she
lyrics.
Had no problem with that.
No, the lyrics were something about how he made that bitch famous.
Yeah,
well, yeah, that's not okay.
Said, that's the whole.
He said
song.
Some about I had sex with Taylor Swift, and I made the bitch famous.
It's a great
and
one.
She and did not know that was gonna. And then
Maybe not the word bitch, but
right, exactly.
Where are we going with this? Why are we doing this?
You did it, man. You asked.
This is our crown jewel right here.
I can't wait for the fucking chip.
This is the best of the podcast.
Chip, right, take it away.
The sweet kiss of death.
This is what happens
now
when
I
you
know
bring
how
us
you guys
back,
feel
man.
When I talk about Mighty Ducks movies.
Yeah, it's probably about the same thing.
Everyone's into Mighty Ducks, bro.
No.
Yeah, wait,
that crosses all lines.
I've never seen that movie, Corbin.
Marcel, you didn't like when they went down to the hood to learn how to play schoolyard puck? You didn't like that part of Mighty Ducks?
Wait.
DJ wasn't born yet when that
DJ's
movie came
never
out,
seen the
fair.
Movies. Which Mighty Ducks character is he?
Oh, what's the nerdy little one with glasses?
He's the Danny Tamborelli's character from Mighty Ducks 1.
The guy who's no longer on the team in D2?
Yeah,
that's who I was going to say, too.
Oh, now I need to see a picture of this.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah,
that's
Danny Tamborelli was too famous for Mighty Ducks, too.
That is exactly who I was thinking of, Jason.
We got you good, DJ.
Oh, man, you got, buddy.
You cake eater.
Wow.
We've really devolved.
Quack, quack, quack.
Real talk, though, DJ actually wasn't alive when this movie came out.
No.
When did it come out?
D2. Were you alive for D3? Was he alive for D3?
He was alive for D3.
Oh,
sure.
Shit. This does look like DJ.
No. Yeah, no, I would like...
Guys, the Mighty Ducks
now
has an 18% Rotten Tomatoes score.
Here, I'm going to put 88? This on my...
Is that what you said?
18%.
No, that movie was so good.
It's so low. That's
why
insane.
Is it so low?
Because
people
wait,
like
Roger
DJ.
Ebert had
people
to go
like,
see it. And
I think
like,
it's because people like
this.
DJ like watch it now and are like, this doesn't make any sense, and then vote it down.
Well, if they're like me, they just don't watch it.
Maybe critics really cared about the rules of hockey. They're like, there's no 2 minutes for roping.
That's D2, bro. That's D2.
This does look like him. If you gain some weight, DJ, he would look like you now too. To be fair, like if you were a lot, if you could grow facial hair at all, you could look like this guy.
I'm about to put this on screen. I got my TV in the background. I'm about to share this with the listeners somehow.
Okay, so we always bring up Mighty Ducks, but we do have Mighty Ducks news because the guy who was Goldberg got a DUI or something, and they showed his mugshot, and he looks not good. God. Meth
Wait,
is
really?
A hell of a drug.
Oh, it's
I didn't
bad.
Know this.
He's done some hard drugs and has had
Sean
a tough
Weiss?
Life.
All
right. I think that sounds right. Yeah.
So I know I have some insight. My friend Holly out in L.A.
Oh, this just happened.
He runs a comedy show at the Belly Room, and he said that that guy kept trying to show up and do time, and he smelled like he did meth, like he smelled like pee and failure. And he's trying to be a stand-up comic now. I love that.
This guy looks so sad.
I know.
He is sad. He got arrested.
Have you seen this mugshot?
Wait, what's his name?
Yes.
His name is Sean Weiss, and his mugshot is so sad. He looks like a 60-year-old homeless guy.
Yeah, he looked much better when he was tricking Julie the Cat Gaffney into eating too many carbs so she wouldn't be able to start against varsity. Goldberg!
Oh, wow. This article on People, this is where I found it. It has a picture of him, and it says, Sean Weiss in the Mighty Ducks, only it's a picture from D2. This is journalism.
Yeah, no one remembers D1, man.
D2 no one has journalistic
was the best.
Integrity
it was the better movie, for sure.
It was.
D2 or D1?
No, D1. It was
yeah,
better.
It's a better movie, but D2
was more popular.
Yeah, well, because that's your kids, and you're just like, Team USA. And then they're like, Team USA Mighty Ducks. And you just like, it's just way more inspiring.
Yeah, well, and if you don't watch D1 first, you don't have to worry about how these kids who couldn't skate at all become, like, you know, national champions. So.
You know how they would pick the national team? They're like, yeah, wow, you won some Minnesota tournament? Cool. The USA team is Adam Banks, and then the rest of you just go back to Minnesota.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, we'll take Adam Banks. He's good at hockey. He can be on
wow,
Team USA.
This dude's life went downhill.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Behaving erratically with flashlights, apparently.
Dude, if you're in all three Mighty Ducks movies, how can your life possibly not go down from that? Like, you peak.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. If I was at the Junior Goodwill Games, my life would have peaked as well.
I mean, he was representing the United States, and then that victory at the Junior Goodwill Games got him ready to scrimmage varsity.
Yep.
Great.
So anyway, speaking of meth, what about some Breaking Bulk?
Yeah.
That's a rough segue. Woof.
That's how you can see
Sean Weiss breaking his life with crack rocks, breaks a bulk.
You can see where I learned my transition skills from, because Marcel and I were both at that moment going to say, let's do Breaking Bulk.
that's rough.
Who wants to go first?
Breaking Bulk time. Breaking Bulk time. Break.
Oh, yeah, Breaking Bulk. There's so much good stuff.
It's a pick. Breaking Bulk. The end.
I can go, I suppose.
Okay.
This is a rare that was in a Commander set. So naturally, Commander 2013, in fact, you get these in bulk just because it's not a sexy standout card, but it's actually a little bit over a buck on a few sites, and I think this has potential because I think it's going to be played in the Aminatu deck, and the fact that the supply on this is bound to be low because everyone bulked these out. I think this has got room to go, and don't sell these for a dime. They're closer to a buck. It's a white rare from Commander 2013.
Active Authority?
What? Shut up, DJ. Am I screen sharing? How did you get that in 2 seconds?
I just got super lucky, dude. I have no idea what any Magic cards are worth. What is this podcast again?
Okay.
Wow.
Active Authority.
He really laid down the law there, Jason.
I mean, I told him it was Aminatu relevant. So Active Authority.
Active Authority
you
is
exile
good.
An artifact or enchantment when it comes into play, and then beginning your upkeep, you can exile an artifact or enchantment, and then the controller gains control of Active Authority. So it's a pretty sweet card.
Passes Aminatu around and blows stuff. Everything up.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool, and I get these in bulk, and these are 10 times what a bulk rare is worth. So
it can target itself, right?
I think it's opponent controls.
No, it doesn't. It just says...
Nope, target artifact.
So, like, if you give it to somebody and they want to get rid of it, they can.
Interesting.
Very cool. So, yep, those are not bulk.
Yep. All right, I got one for you guys. This one should probably be pretty easy too.
That's, I think, the first rare I've done in like a year. I don't feel like I'm a cheater.
This is a recently spiked card. It's always been worth money, but it's recently become worth a lot.
Why are you talking about it after it spiked? It's
this Corbin. What else
this
is he going to do?
Breaking Bulk.
It's Throat of Geth.
This is Breaking Bulk. This is not a pick of the week. I'm just letting people know.
All right. Okay.
It's a planar chaos blue uncommon. It's been reprinted once.
Blue uncommon.
Yeah, Pongify?
It is Pongify.
Huh.
I said it.
I was
easy.
Thinking Reality Acid.
No,
Pongify. I love Reality Acid.
Pongify was in Commander 2014 as well, and this card is actually market price $3.50.
Yeah.
Yeah, this card's actually insanely expensive.
I sell this card so often on TCG Player.
Yeah. There's some pretty cool modern
decks.
It's
a Swords of Plowshares in blue.
Yeah, it's also there's also a modern deck floating around, and this is not a driver of the price in all likelihood, but where you play a bunch of undying creatures, and then you Pongify and Rapid Hybridization them, and you just upgrade like a Young Wolf into a 2/2, and you also get a 3/3. It's just a pretty funny little deck. But I don't know if that has anything to do with the fact that it's climbed up pretty steadily over the past year or not. But yeah, it's above $3 for an uncommon that you can also pull out of Commander bulk.
Well, that's Commander 2014. That was quite a long time ago. So
yep.
And that deck has what? It's got the Teferi, which is the most expensive Planeswalker, and it's got Cyclonic Rift. Like, that's
yeah. I was gonna say, like, 6 months or so ago, when they were doing all those eBay deals, I had a line on a specific seller who would ship the decks not in their original packaging. They would just, like, strip it of everything and sell it in the Saran wrap, just the actual deck. And so I used the eBay coupons to, like, buy a shit ton of the Teferi and Duretti decks for, like, under buy list at cost with the eBay coupon. So you'd get, like, the Teferi deck for $24, and you got Teferi, Cyclonic Rift, Pongify, Rapid Hybridization, Caged Sun, the Emblem, Sky Diamond, yada, yada, yada. And it was,
yeah,
like,
by the way, this Commander set is lit, right? I'm looking at this.
Yeah.
Just all of them. Containment Priest, Wurmcoil, Teferi, Gukul or Gisa, whatever it is.
Gisa.
It's $16.
Yeah, you get Grave Titan.
2014 was nuts, man.
Yeah, Titania, Psych Rift, Fraelis, Cage Sun, all
the black one's lousy with $2 rares. There's nothing like fantastic except for the Gisa, but like
it has Grave Titan in it, dude.
Yeah, that too. Yeah,
yeah, that's like, $10 now.
That's my favorite part about looking through a collection through a binder is you see the commander rares that they have in there, and you can tell the commander decks they bought, and you know when you get their bulk afterwards that you're getting those commander decks in there.
Yeah.
So you're getting all these commons, uncommons. Yep. You can gauge just from what you actually pay on the good cards in those decks exactly how much extra value you're getting in that bulk, because it's all there.
For sure.
Yep. All right. DJ,
all right, my turn?
Or Ryan. Ryan, go ahead.
All right, well, since you're going to say my first one's cheating, this is a common from Mercadian Masks.
Whoa, did we say your first one was cheating?
We said
you're going to.
What is it?
I'm going to use it for my pick of the week anyway. So
we
weren't doing pick of the week.
Well, we are now.
Okay.
Suck
That's
it,
how we
Corbin.
Do it. It's old school.
Okay.
We don't know what this new shit is.
But this was more likely to be in bulk anyway, because Fallen Empires is not in bulk very often, so anymore.
Ooh, was it him to Torok?
No, it's Night Soil.
Nope.
Oh, Elvish Farmer.
Keep going.
Is it a Sapperling card?
Nope.
Okay.
I don't care.
This is Rainbow Veil.
Rainbow Veil, everybody knows that card's like...
Well,
right?
Well, that's the thing, is like you still get them in bulk all the time. You absolutely have to know that card is there.
I don't think any...
I mean... Nobody knows from Fallen Empires what is rare and what is not in those sets.
Yeah, but no one has Fallen Empires, so like
that's a good
matter.
Point.
I mean, and again, this comes from me not having picked bulk anytime recently. That's why I chose the second card, which is the
All
common
right, well,
from Mercadian Mask, which is what you're supposed to be actually guessing.
All right.
Can't you get Fallen Empire packs for like damn near MSRP still?
No, not anymore. No,
MSRP
boxes are
in
like
the year 1970.
Yeah.
I found a bunch of these at the LGS. That was tight. They
have all right, I'm going to go with
what's the rest of the stuff about this Masks card.
Yeah,
it's a,
what's the color?
It's a,
what's
it doesn't have a color.
It doesn't have a color.
For Mercadian Masks?
Yes.
Well, I have no idea.
Is it a basic land, you idiot?
It's not a basic land.
Is it a sort of insert card?
No. No, it's a card that you will open in packs regularly. Okay. It is a common in the set.
All right, well, since it's impossible to guess, I'm going to cheat and look it up.
How is it impossible to guess? You
because,
already said
man,
the land
I only
type.
Know a couple cards
you
from
already
that set
said
and they
the,
all have colors on them.
You already said the card type.
So is it not an artifact?
It's like it's a land.
It's not an artifact. It is a land. There you go.
Ugh. It's is got it the Magistrate's Tower?
No.
It's
tower
a rare.
It's got depletion
it's not a common.
Counters.
Oh, is it common?
Yeah, he said it's a common. I'm thinking.
Surprise and scary.
No, I heard it. Who
it's
said
Pete
it?
It's Peat Bog.
There you go.
I told you. I cheated and I looked it up because it was unguessable.
I just don't know that. I don't know the names of the other depletion lands.
That is a good question. PFOG is $2. Why are the others not worth anything?
Get Rug Monster?
Plausible.
Because I legitimately was going through a bunch of this crap the other day. Cards like this, depletion counter lands. I just threw them all in the bulk box at the store. So it's possible I missed a PFOG. I certainly didn't know about it. It spiked very, very recently. It spiked in July of this year.
Well, didn't Gitrog just jumped, right? So I think that is
Gitrog was forever ago.
Don't mind me just coming on your finance show, showing you how finance works.
What Marcel's saying is Gitrog jumped up when
like Gitrog the card recently jumped up.
Yeah, I think it just recently just spiked.
Oh,
yeah,
it's like $8 now.
Yeah.
Because of the lands commander deck. So
I bet Muldrotha did this.
It was whatever the new commander was. There's something to do with lands.
The Jun deck.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Just happened. I would be surprised that the black one's pulling away from the green one under any circumstances. Because Peatbog's only in 200 more decks than Surprise and Scary on the EDH track. So
I mean, then maybe Surprise and Scary is a good pick as well. I don't think it's to say that Peatbog is bad. I think you just
Hickory Woodlot is actually in more decks than Peatbog.
Interesting.
Sure. So you should be picking all of them up. I mean, go and look on TCG.
I don't bulk more power out to whoever goes any non-basic lands ever.
So. Yeah, I don't either. Like, especially things like this. Like, they're always going to be useful for something.
Yeah. Speaking of non-basic lands, let me get a Scalding Tarn for cheap. Come on, Wizards. Just
weren't they $12?
It wouldn't be a Marcel episode without complaining about reprints.
Hey, man, I'm in. Let's do it. Complaining about reprints is the best. It's always fun. There's always something to complain about.
Yep.
That was the best part of Commander 2018, is the cards they did reprint, people complained about how they're $8, but if they didn't reprint them, they'd be $30. So then they complained about the cards they didn't reprint that became $30. It's perfect.
And they complained that the foils are curly and that the presidents are bad.
They should have reprinted dual lands in there, you know? And like, they really fucked up by not taking this opportunity to print dual lands.
Why not a snow-covered dual? That gets around the reserve list.
Exactly. Jeez. See, Jason? Finally an EDH player that gets it.
Yeah, finally you guys are on the same page with it.
Man, it took a while.
All right, Marcel, you got a Breaking Bulk for us?
No, I don't. I don't do Breaking Bulk. Sorry.
Oh, okay. You just got schooled.
All right, DJ, we'll let the guests go. Go ahead, man.
Rise of the Eldrazi, colorless, uncommon.
Skittering
Invasion.
Wrong.
The Warping Whale.
This world.
What is it? It's
Corbin got it. It's not that.
Not of this world's common, isn't it?
I was trying to say all or nothing. No, it's uncommon for sure. It's only been printed once.
Damn it.
I did it, everybody. I did it.
Is that the counterspell?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the 7 mana. Cost 0 if they're targeting one of your big dooters.
I knew that one.
Wow, no, Corbin, you knew a card one time.
It's crazy when you guys do sets. When you pick sets that are from years I played Magic, I can do it. If you pick cards from 1998, I can't.
But I can do it. I didn't play
type anyway, man. I heard you typing just as a reflex.
No, I'm typing on the spreadsheet, the picks.
I looked it up that quickly.
Hey, man, you're good at cheating. Like, I'm not as good.
That's true.
Yeah, I think... Anyway. He has a machine learning bot going on right now that's listening to your conversation in real time, and then it does it automatically.
Yeah. Corbin doesn't have anything to do with technology.
And then it gives us the first page of the script of the first page Brainstorm Brewery episode. I don't know if you guys heard that, but Sam Rissick Studies did that for us, and it was incredible.
Oh, the bot one? Yes, that was great.
Just Ryan is asleep.
Wait, what now?
So, you know that meme going around where people were like, I had a machine analyze 100 episodes of whatever.
Yeah.
Wrote a script. This is the first page of it. Well, he did one for Brainstorm Brewery. And the best part of it was just Ryan is asleep or like Ryan is snoring or something.
Excellent.
It was great.
I'm assuming there was an ice cream bowl involved.
I think there was definitely an ice cream bowl or a bowl of some type there.
Oh, there's going to be more ice cream later when we do these ships.
Oh, there's going to be a bowl of some kind.
All right, let's
Speaking
talk
of Squatty Potty.
Oh, man, speaking of Squatty Potty.
Speaking of Squatty Potty, are they still paying us money?
I don't think so. I'm also, I'll see if our link's still live. I might have forgot to email them and find out if they still wanted anything to do with us.
Hey, maybe they still want something to do with us, and if they do, Go to squattypotty.com/BSB. But if not, we're going to get a different sponsor. Probably Purple Mattress. Just because I have a shitty mattress. And if we could trick Purple Mattress into thinking that we have enough listeners... That they send us a mattress each, and then they're like, hey, nobody use our affiliate link. I'm like, yeah, nobody wants to spend $2,000 on a mattress.
Guys, our coupon code still works.
You should spend about $1,000 on a mattress, though.
The coupon code still works for Squatty.
Wait. Did you say coupon code? Coupon code?
Coupon?
Coupon. That's what Corbin said, coupon.
I think I say coupon. I think I say closer to coupon than coupon.
I say coupon.
It's coupon. Sure.
Coupon.
Now I don't remember.
It's like we're all from different parts of the country. That's so crazy.
No, I say coupon.
No,
for sure.
Really?
Whoa. You don't. Your say. Part. So, no, actually, since the Squatty Potty thing, trying to get really random obscure sponsors has become like this new pastime of ours.
Except I don't when you forget to Corbin. Email them about our obscure sponsorship. Yeah.
I call bullshit.
We already did that, man. Squatty Potty's old news now, although you should go buy a Squatty Potty. But now we need a new
SquattyPotty.com/BSB. We bought a bunch. We're going to be giving them away to some lucky listeners. I have one for every turlet in my house, and I got to tell you, my daughter uses the Squatty Potty as a stool to step up onto her little potty insert that we put on top of the toilet. So Squatty Potty has actually helped me potty train my daughter. So that was an unintended consequence of having Squatty Potties. I didn't realize she would use it as a stepping stool, but that is just additional value. Yep. So
all about that EV thing. On this podcast.
Yeah, so I got a question for you guys. So Squatty Potty, you know, they charge $5 for shipping.
Sure.
And if you had Prime, you could get it on Amazon and then for $5 cheaper. So why should someone overpay for a Squatty Potty from your affiliate link?
Well, we don't need these kind of hard-hitting questions on this podcast,
Well, you
podcast,
see, Marcel,
sir.
Some people don't want to contribute to the Patreon for whatever reason, but if they have a tangible way to help our podcast and get something they were already going to get, maybe that overpayment is a $5 tip that they're donating to our tip jar.
Also, maybe some people don't want to contribute to Jeff Bezos' diamond-encrusted toilet.
Yeah. Jeff Bezos is going to explore space because he's actively ruining this planet. So if someone doesn't want to give us any money at all and they want to support this podcast, all they need to go to youtube.com/brainstormbrewery and go ahead and find our YouTube channel there and click like, subscribe.
Wait. Finger blast, you mean, not like.
Oh, no. They click like and subscribe. The bell icon, though, that seductive little bell icon.
Oh, okay. That's
seductive little bell icon. Yep.
The bell of the ball over there.
That's what it is.
You need to court that. You need to move your mouse coyly around the page until it looks like the bell icon is beckoning you over, and then you just finger blast the bejesus out of that.
That's what you do.
And that'll notify you when we put up a new Brainstorm Brewery episode or a new Brain Bite, which is a thing that we are going to continue doing.
True.
Those are non-episode YouTube videos that we talk about all kinds of subjects, ranging from like how to use EDH Rec to how to ship. Basically anything we feel like we're experts in.
I'm
gonna
record my Brain Bite tomorrow after the whole mouth recovery thing.
DJ's doing his part. So yeah. Go to patreon.com/brainstormbrewery or youtube.com/brainstormbrewery or even squattypotty.com/BSB. There are all kinds of ways to support our podcast for between $0 and $40. So thank you so much for being our listener, and thank you so much if you're a patron or a supporter or just someone that sends us emails every once in a while. We really appreciate it.
Would you like to know more?
So I remember I texted you guys, and I was like, you should do a segment for Squatty Potty where you guys shit on a card. How about we do that for this episode?
I'm in. What are we shitting on?
I'll start it off. We are shitting on the most overrated card ever.
I'm ready. What's
that? Vettelkin Orrery.
Was that?
Nope.
Agree that it's overrated, but I don't think that it is. Like, I think in the right deck, it's just as powerful as.
I think there is a bunch of cards that Wizards got the memo that they were good in EDH in 2012, and they still think are staples. Can someone tell people at Wizards that we don't need any more duplicates, Solemn Simulacrums, or oh god, what's the other one? Whatever.
Mind's Eye.
Mind's Eye. That's exactly it.
Mind's Eye is pretty bad now, but
they were really good in 2011. You know.
Well, I think at least with clones, you can make the argument that when people build them out of the box or whatever, it leads to fun moments.
I think Orrery is very good in specific decks, but I do think that decks with zero instant speed interaction shouldn't play it, and I think that decks with mostly instant speed interaction shouldn't play it. I think there's a fine line you have to draw.
I think Vedokin Orrery is great for someone watching game nights to be like, oh man, that was a blowout, and then they start experimenting with doing stuff on other people's turns that they normally couldn't do, and then they'll be like, well, I don't really need Orrery, I'll just play Mystic Snake to do that, or I'll just play Stifle or whatever.
No way, but, man. You get to flash in Felidar Sovereign at the end of someone's turn.
Vedokin Orrery.
I think it's a great training card, and I think if you're an intermediate player, you kind of think that card is the best card ever, and then once you sort of progress beyond that, you're like, I understand that there are situations where it's good, but otherwise, maybe it's a little bit overrated. So I think it's great for teaching people to go from beginner to intermediate, and I think Game Nights is really good for that. So I'm not, as much as I think it's funny to poop on Orrery, I think what they are doing with that card is teaching a lot of people to play Magic better, and that's fine.
Yeah, I think
please invite me to be on Game Nights.
I think you guys really suck at shooting on a card, first off. And I think if you really want the truth of Vedokin Orrery, the truth is it's used for people with a complex who feel like they always need to have something they can do in the game, have an excuse to leave their man up so they can do those things.
Hey, guess what? I missed Prophet of Crufix. That was my favorite Magic card. My favorite Magic card was Prophet. And I missed
it. Of course, because you felt like you were always in control, right? Because you felt like you were always in control.
Yes.
You felt like you could always do things. Yeah, exactly. That's why. Because you're one of those guilty people that has the complex. No, it is. It's not your fault. It's everyone's fault who plays those cards.
I bought hundreds of dollars worth, and he went, oh, no. That's not true. He didn't.
He
tell
gave
me
you the cold
he
shoulder.
He warned me and didn't. He said nothing.
He gave you the coldest shoulder ever. It was,
Marcel,
it was really
did you have
nasty.
A suggestion for a card to shit on?
Yeah, I'm going to shit on Scalding Tarn for $18.
There's a real shit.
Why didn't you get them when they were printed? We told you to on this podcast.
Well, when they got it went down to $50 or what? $45.
What do you need? Like what do you need them for, man? Marcel?
Huh? I just want to finish out my set of fetches.
Oh, don't worry about it. Most decks you don't even need them for. Like
yeah,
I'm playing High Tide and Legacy, and I was like, man, I really the deck calls for 4 Scalding Tarns, and I realized, oh, I already have Flooded Strands and Polluted Deltas. They do the same thing. Like, there's so few times when you actually need the Scalding Tarn.
Yeah, well, I got all Storm. Right. I got a Storm deck built right now. Those are the 4 cards that I need.
Well, that is
$13 in 2011. Right.
Then you do need them.
Buy them then.
2011 because.
For all those paper Magic tournaments that you're currently playing,
I should have bought them. Woo! Then. Yes, I was in paper Magic then. Yeah, it was all
yeah,
I was on Magic
sure
Online
was
at that
only
point.
On Magic
2011, Online. You should have just bought a couple of collector's edition sets and
thrown
them in
a
box. 2011,
I should have bought Bitcoin in 2011, right?
yeah, I mean, you can't get it. That would have, should have, cut it. The reality is, Scalding Tarn's $80,
right,
and until it gets to the reprint, it ain't
going
down.
Yeah,
no, it should be $80.
I'm a firm believer that land bases should be about 20 to 25, max out 30, and it should be reprinted until you get to that price. Because no matter what,
I agree with you.
If you reprint it aggressively, the card will dip to that price and it will climb back up.
And
lands
we will sell
always
more of
appreciate.
Them. We'll
right. As a vendor, I totally agree with you. In fact, I agree so far to the extent that Wizards needs to get over this idea that everything has to be in a cycle. It's okay to put Scalding Tarn in a set with some other lands and call that good, because like that's the only way you're going to keep these prices down, because every time you have to wait until a whole cycle comes back around, you end up with like
there's the
Ryan
we know and remember.
What?
You start out super reasonable, and then you're like, ah, here's some shit.
No, like, why is that, why is that
like
bad?
A chalkboard with, like, strings pointing between different things. It's like, ah, there's definitely an Eldrazi in the next set. It's
Ryan,
like, calm down.
Ryan is
there
like,
is no Carol at HR, Jason.
They should reprint Fetchlands. Yes, thank you, Ryan. They should reprint Fetchlands. What if they just reprinted Scalding Tarn in a Planeswalker pack? And you're like,
no, I'm not saying in a Planeswalker pack. I'm saying, like, what? And Scalding Tarn's a bad example because all the Fetches are good. They all need to be reprinted. But there's plenty of times when a particular card gets missed because they always want to reprint it in
the
cycle, and they always wait for
the creature land
cycle.
Your best
Here's
argument,
what they could
Ryan.
Do FTV Scald with Scalding Salamander and Scald and Scalding Tarn.
Scalding, you used to have Scalding Tongs too to go in there.
Scalding Tongs. that's like your grandmother buying you like one of those knockoff at the mall, like Super Nintendo's. Like, I got you a Super Xbox. You're like, oh, grandma,
thanks,
Scalding
grandma.
Tar, not Scalding Tongs.
What
in 30 minutes, we're all gonna have Scalding Tongues.
Oh, stop, DJ, stop it! We're here. You're not allowed to do that.
Ugh. I hope it's a power speech forever.
I
thought you were going to sleep.
You got
to
have a good one. I know you.
I got one queued up. Let's talk about fucking Curse Catcher.
Oh, no, I got one queued up afterwards, too.
Curse Catcher is the worst Curse Catcher in existence right now.
It's in the worst deck, that's for sure.
They printed Judge's Familiar, and I thought, oh, that's neat. It's like a Curse Catcher. Oh, but it flies? Well, that doesn't feel super fair, but all right, I guess, whatever. Do-do-do, la-di-da, fucking Mausoleum Wanderer. I look at Mausoleum Wanderer, and I just see everything wrong with the world. Like, this isn't fair. You get to be the tribe that has flying all the time and be really good, and you get the best Curse Catcher ever printed, and Curse Catcher is the worst Curse Catcher ever printed? Modern Merfolk decks aren't even playing Curse Catcher anymore. It's so bad. How is this possible, Wizards? People literally call them Curse Catcher cards. They don't, they're not like, oh, it's a Mausoleum Wanderer. They're like, it's a Curse Catcher variant. But a Curse Catcher is the worst one. It's a travesty, and I have relayed these concerns directly. It's possible I launched this verbatim at multiple members of the play design
team. You know what? It's very possible.
Wizards is hearing you out, Don.
Vigor is the reason why there is not a different Curse Catcher.
Wait a second. No, I think they tried to answer your call. They gave you the answer in the Mist in M19.
Mistcaller sucks. Mistcaller is useless. This is bullshit. But you know what? I have literally...
You know what Mistcaller ensures, though?
We're going to get...
But you know what Mistcaller ensures? That you won't get another one-drop Merfolk for at least 5 years. So
no, man. No. No, they're going to get tired of hearing me.
They're going to reprint Kosi's Trickster. So
look, bro, I like...
reprint Marcel Scaldicarn.
No, like they're going to reprint Curse Catcher again to make sure it's not even worth anything.
Next time I play basketball with Paul Cheon, every time...
Oh, now he's name-dropping. Stop
every
it.
Every time... Well, he's a good basketball player. And this is who I
A basketball player, and so am I, supposedly.
Every time I score on him, I'm going to go, that's for not printing me a better Curse Catcher. I'm just going to back him down to the basket.
Wow, you're going to say that twice per one-hour game?
You know what? No, here's what I hope. The first time he bats one of your shots down and just smashes you in the face with it, I hope he comes back and says, and I'm banning Lord of Atlantis next time.
If Paul Cheon ever blocked one of my shots, he is welcome to say that.
Oh, please.
So DJ, make that happen. What card are you going to shit on?
Fuck Cyclonic Rift.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
This segment's brought to you by Squatty Potty.
I hate Cyclonic Rift because it should be banned in Commander. And
that's true.
It is a one side. People are like, oh, but it's Blue's board wipe. You have to let... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know Evacuation and River's Rebuke and all these other...
Aether Gale. Come on, we got Aether Gale.
Aetherize, fam. Aetherize.
Aetherize is good.
Aether Spouts.
Yeah, anything restricted. That'd be better
anything
than...
Anything Aethery.
Yeah, there's all these other blue wipe effects that exist, and people think that the end of the world's going to happen if Cyclonic Rift gets banned. It is the most popular card in the entire format behind Sol Ring. There are more decks that play Cyclonic Rift that play Island.
I believe that.
So there are blue four color decks that are like, I can't play Islands because my mana base is weird enough, but I need my Cyclonic Rift.
Well, the reality is Cyclonic Rift should not cost a single blue to
I agree. Overload. If that card was triple blue to overload, totally problems. Different story.
Don't you like your commander games taking 20 minutes longer for every Cyclonic Rift cast?
I don't really care.
There's four people at the table and the game takes an extra hour.
No, I'll just go play Legacy. My games take one turn.
I think the rules committee needs to get a little more aggressive, but...
Guess what website I logged on to?
Is it squattypotty.com?
Cookie Clicker!
Oh, no.
Oh,
so, Ryan, don't you have a card that you want to shit on? Or you have...
So, I have a handful of cards I want to shit on.
Of course you do.
I haven't been on the cast for a while, so I haven't got to complain about this. I don't think. Maybe I did. But all the cards in... Black and green that aren't Deathrite Shaman, screw those cards for getting Deathrite Shaman banned, because what? Now I have to pick up... Yeah, no. Abrupt Decay, Liliana of the Veil, screw those cards.
Are you complaining about the Deathrite Shaman banning?
Yes.
That everyone knows is coming?
Because now he has to find his one of Odious Trow in Japanese foil.
What? Yeah, he understands. I just, like, a week before that banning, I finished my Legacy deck Japanese foil. It was gorgeous.
You're an idiot.
And then they ban it. What?
Odious Trow was good already, man. You were happy about Odious Trow.
Everyone knew it was getting banned.
I have had my Deathrite Shaman
forever. Not MTG Ryan. He didn't see the future.
No, and not everyone knew it was getting banned. Like, they no.
I knew it was getting banned.
I thought they wouldn't give in to peer pressure of players who don't want interaction in their game.
It's true, because, like, it was the whiniest people.
It is. So, like, there is no reason for that card to be banned. I will still hold by that, but that's a whole different argument. Yeah, I just don't. And it doesn't even matter anymore. I found Corbin had that argument
with Paul Cheon when he's dunking on him or whatever.
I found the Slither Muse. I'm good. Or the Slither Head, excuse me. I'm good. I have the card, but now
Slither
I don't
Head, that thing from Return to Ravnica?
Yeah, you only have three options. You only have three options.
That's better than Odious Trow?
Not necessarily. It's the same card, though. Like you
this
never. Odious Trow has a possibility. Of
It's Spanish Inquisition, Corbin. Get with it.
Why is Slitherhead in it?
Because you need a card. You need a card that you can Summoner's Pact for. Costs one mana, is black and green, so that you can be able to either Summoner's Pact for it, put it on a Chrome Box, which gives you the ability to Summoner's Pact into black mana, or to be able to play it and cast Culling the Weak on it, which is why it has to cost one mana. And then it has to, it just has to be some sort of creature of that variety.
I don't care.
And there's only three cards in the game that allow you to do that, and Deathrite Shaman is the best one. And because you run a Singleton Bayou in your deck, the smartest one to play is the Deathrite Shaman, because sometimes you get to go turn one Bayou Deathrite Shaman, and your opponent doesn't put you on combo, so like they play very differently into turn two, and then you actually get the mana off your Deathrite Shaman.
I mean, if you're raw dogging your Singleton one land and not,
they're not
going to put you on combo.
It's a 100 to 150 game, okay, but like when you play enough with the deck, it does become a percentage point.
I'm sorry you asked too, Corbin, because I already knew. I've had these conversations at great length on 5-hour car rides.
I knew he played a super deck, but I didn't know this was still a thing.
I'm working on a second deck now. I picked up a playset of Miscut High Tides at Gen Con and a playset of Miscut Ops. And so now High Tide is going to get Solidarity for those people who actually know the old deck name is now getting built. So if anybody's got any Japanese foil snapcasters or misprinted
ones. It
hasn't
been called Solidarity since it ran Solidarity.
I know, but it's still Solidarity. I mean, it's like Spanish Inquisition. It's not the same deck as it started off as either. It used to be 10-man walkers, but it's different now.
Mister, I don't know why people are buying a hat talking about send me your Japanese foils.
Oh, man. Wait, so why was the deck called Solidarity? Isn't that like a shitty Urza's Saga or Urza's block common?
I mean, that was just how the deck worked back then.
Creatures you control get +0 +5.
Well, how does this relate to High Tide is my question.
What?
No, that was Spanish Inquisition.
No, Spanish Inquisition. Wait, what are you talking about?
You said the deck
they're talking about the card Solidarity and what it actually does. Your creatures get a +0 +5.
You said the deck used to run Solidarity.
No.
I was joking.
Oh.
I was joking that it hasn't been called Solidarity since Urza's Block.
But Solidarity was the name of a deck, right?
That is the name of the deck. You're not keeping up.
Right, I thought Jason was
Solidarity
being serious.
Against
I was being semi-serious.
I'm so confused. No.
It's a like turn four combo deck that goes off. It's the only deck that plays reset. That's the reason reset's worth money.
Okay.
You can only play it on your opponent's turn. Everything in your deck is instants. It's a combo deck that gets the backup of Force of Will.
Did
so you
cast
get to play
the card Solidarity?
No, it's mono blue.
Why is it named that?
The only lands in the deck are fetch lands and islands.
So why is it called Solidarity?
You'll never know. Why is Cheerios called
Cheerios?
It was called Solidarity because you didn't play.
Not everything was called the colors that it was.
It was called Solidarity because your opponent didn't know. Like you were just like Island Go. You weren't playing the same game as your opponent, and so it was Solidarity because you were playing a separate game. Like you're playing your own game.
I call that Solidarity.
Yeah,
it's Solidarity is like a reserve by yourself.
Legacy players are the worst, man. This is why all their naming conventions.
Oh yeah, they're
just
the worst.
Everything mid range, like Corbin does when he's in coverage.
Oh look, mono red aggro. Even though it's got six cards different than the next mono red aggro.
It has a lantern and it has a control.
Ooh, is it? Ugh. Weren't you though? Just the one who sent me a question or sent us a question. Is it still mono red aggro if there's four scrappy scroungers in it?
No.
Who sent that?
Why would I possibly ask you anything
relating to
Magic?
That sounds like a thing you would ask.
Jeez, burn.
Someone
this has turned
that
into
recently.
A classic episode, which is to say all our current patrons are like, why am I listening to this?
Yeah, it's true. You're going to lose. You're going to shed all your patrons. You're going to go back to the numbers when we were back on.
We're going to be back at $1,100 with fucking chip scars in our mouths.
Whatever. Let's talk about.
We're gonna learn ASL for episode 301, and we're gonna use your Patreon money to do it.
Yeah, let's talk about GPs moving forward with Ryan here while we have him on before we get into the chips at the end of the episode. Ryan, you're talking about GPs are changing a little bit. Obviously, we know under Chain of Fireball, things have sort of become better in some aspects. Some people complain about other aspects of them.
It's not as bad a monopoly as everyone wants to think it is.
Tell us what you're talking about with vendors, though.
So there's been a major shift here in like the last 2 months. The vendors have been cut in like half from the first half of the season to the second half here. For example, this upcoming GP this weekend, I think there's only 4 vendors in Providence. Now, part of that's because there's LA the same weekend. But, I mean, before this, last year, you didn't see a GP with less than 10 to 12 vendors, really. It just didn't exist. And I think the last 3 we've done now have had less than 10 vendors.
What do you attribute that to?
I mean, most of it is just the fact that it's very difficult to, A, compete in the room if you're not one of those first couple of booths. And because the way they set up the pick system, like the more GPs you do, the more you get rewarded for doing those GPs. So unless you're able to do every GP, it's difficult to keep up and be able to compete with the big guys. And I think just the general cost of the events as well. Like, you have to pay the best of the best numbers when you're in that room. And you're paying so much money to be in that room in the first place. Like, why compete with that?
Most people can just make those margins at home. We've been talking about this for literal years about how GP vendors keep dropping out.
But we just kind of finally hit that brick wall, I think.
So for our listeners, what does that mean for them? Does that mean that dealers are more inclined to pay better because there's less competition? Are they inclined to pay worse?
Probably the opposite.
Are they going to run out of money on Friday because they're...
Now, that has been a thing for us. I mean, not to state like the vendor's position, like whether or not they have cash, but there's definitely been a lot more of vendors running out of money at the past handful of GPs. Part of that is just, you think it's going to be a smaller GP, you don't necessarily bring as much, and then all of a sudden it's slammed. Milwaukee was like that for us here pretty recently. And then other ones are not Milwaukee, is it?
Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, there you go. I always get those two mixed up. The other part of it, too, is you've just got so many events that you're chaining back-to-back, like you have to be able to budget for this. And so... with 6 vendors, it's just a lot less people to sell to, so people are definitely going to be more stressed on their money. But then also, these smaller guys, they just weren't... I don't want to say they weren't able to keep up, because, I mean, they could have used a lot of the same tactics that the bigger guys have to been able to move cards, but when you're only bringing in so much money, it's a lot harder to compete, because you can't just create this really strong list, because you'll run out even quicker. You might be out Friday afternoon if you did that, whereas you got to stretch your dollar out, and sometimes stretching your dollar out doesn't always mean that you're actually going to get the cards you want. You're kind of getting the leftovers of what everybody else doesn't want, and you're stuck with a bunch of inventory that doesn't sell.
So we're talking just for everybody at home. Vendors, when they go to GPs, don't usually make money selling cards, right? Everyone sometimes complains about the price of a card on the floor, but GPs usually exist for vendors to go buy cards, correct?
Yes. It is mostly that. I mean, that's our purpose there. We're definitely there to sell as well. Not to plug the store or anything, but as 95, we definitely try and have the best room prices in the room. We sell under TCG on almost every card. So there is definitely, some profit that we're making from moving cards there. But most of that is just for a quick flip for us. Like, we want the inventory to take home for the most part. We really only look to sell the staples and stuff like that at the actual GPs themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, where do you see it going from here, though? I mean, we see how it is at customers. I mean, do you think there's going to be 3 vendors at a GP come January?
I don't think it's going to be 3, but I think you're going to see this 5 to 6 carry through. I think a lot of the guys that have dropped off aren't looking to come back. And part of it is, just been multiple issues with the GP circuit. Part of it is just that the player base is, I don't want to say dwindling at buying or selling at GPs, but there's definitely a very different crowd now that the floor traders aren't there. Like, you don't get the big dumps from people. It's, buy a small binder of here. It might be a big collection to walk
that's
in, but you don't have these regular people bringing you
that's
cards.
That's an interesting thing you bring up. Because
channel you're playing that floor game. Traders were an interesting part of the ecosystem, and it was a mistake to get rid of them?
So as a vendor, I'm very split on that, because there are definitely positives that the floor traders bring. And I mean, I used to be a floor trader. I will in some regard go back to being a floor trader here in the future. But there's also a lot of the negative that comes with the floor traders. Now, the one thing I will say is there's a lot of times when you get a casual player to sit down with you that otherwise wouldn't have to sell you those couple of cards on the list, and then you could see this very, you know, beautiful binder of cards that nobody's touched in 10 years, and that's not a thing when floor traders are there. Right. So it is better for us to be able to collect those cards, because a lot of times the floor traders, even though they sell us some stuff, a lot of times they were taking that binder off the floor, and they were going home with it. And that's what really became the issue, is that not that floor traders existed, but that so many floor traders were instead becoming TCG stores or doing things on their own, and you really were hurting the vendors in the room. And as much as people want to blame the bigger vendors for driving some of these other vendors out, floor traders were an equally big part of that for a while.
Yeah, well, I think there's a big difference between floor traders and floor vendors.
Yeah.
Like, there is, want to be
but
floor
it's
vendors,
difficult.
Guess, like, yeah.
But it's not like you can differentiate those two people on the floor. That's the issue. You have to mask a one way or the other.
How many wheels does your suitcase have?
Yeah. Well, remember people lost their minds when Channel Fireball updated that policy. They're like, Channel Fireball says you can't trade on the floor of a GP anymore. They're ruining it for us. And they didn't even understand that these people are out there operating. And like you said,
you can still trade.
Of course.
I mean,
trading
is not dead. It's that there is a certain group of people that Channel knows are going to cause problems when they are on the floor as far as, like, disturbing the ecosystem. And they watch out for those people, and it kind of cleaned itself up because the whole group just kind of quit coming. So that's not
Channel.
I mean,
that's the thing.
It's
like
people
looked at this policy when they saw it online and thought this was this blanket policy. We have no idea how they're going to enforce it. All Channel Fireball did was create a rule that they specifically were aiming at the dozen people who they would.
They didn't even really create a rule. That rule already existed. They just said, hey, we're reaffirming that we're going to enforce
this. Well, they were cracking down on it when they got a hold of all the GPs. That was the difference. Which is fine, because they got to keep those people, the vendors
who
are paying them
money.
It
wasn't as nefarious as people made it out to be, and they looked beyond.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't worse, per se, than Channel Fireball getting all the GPs.
Oh. And the thing about that, too, is, so, I mean, and not to come to Channel Fireball's defense or anything, but the Channel Fireball store and the Channel Fireball events, I believe, are two different
things. They're two different companies.
In some regards,
they are two completely separate companies.
Because I know that Channel Fireball events, or the Channel Fireball, the vendors, have to bid on the events just like the other vendors do.
So I hope Cascade gets a chance to bid on them.
I hope so, too. Honestly, I feel like Cascade could do a great job with it. But at the same time, Channel hasn't. So, like, Channel has messed up a number of things in my eyes. Las Vegas, I still will never get over. That way that Wednesday went down was absolutely inappropriate. They did fix it. I mean, it ended up working out extremely well for us. It's still the best day of a GP we've ever had, but we also had to fight tooth and nail to get ourselves in that room. But when you remove the major, like, hiccups of, and part of that's a learning process, too, right? I think that Channel has done a more consistently good job than what GPs were done before, but I do not believe that is to say that they are doing the best possible job out of all of the reasonable teams.
That's a pretty fair criticism.
That position.
That seems like
so.
A
you're saying
criticism.
Anybody in the position to do every GP is going to learn enough to do a really good job?
I'm saying that I think Channel is doing a better job than the average GP from last year if you took all the TOs and combined them. But I do not believe that Channel is the necessarily the best TO to run all of the events.
Well, they did.
Is what I'm saying.
I'm sure they're a step in the right direction.
Everybody knows that.
I'm not trying to shit on necessarily any one vendor. And there are things people do and don't like about each vendor, or about each one of the TOs. Pastimes is one I did have some issues with. And as a vendor, I feel like they kind of dropped the ball on a number of things. But that's beyond the point. That's what I'm saying is, like, as an overall, because everything is run by one vendor, and because I believe Channel's kind of the middle of the road there for having the capability to do so, they are doing a very adequate job. That is the perfect word I would use to describe GPs this year, is they are adequately run. I think there are a number of things that can be improved on, and I hope they do move towards improving on those, and if they keep the contract, I hope they don't treat that as like a sign of safety and just kind of relax, because I think that's really what happened with TOs before, too. You have to keep innovating.
Because everyone had their region, and nobody really encroached on anyone's region.
Right.
So people were stuck with one TO forever. We had Pez growing up, and they weren't the worst. So
I liked Pez more than Pastimes
much
growing up, but neither one was that great.
There were certainly some, I'm not going to name names, there were some TOs I've liked working with a lot less than others. I think it's probably healthy overall that there's, you know, like Ryan said, a bidding process for how these things go down, and we don't know what the length of the contract is or anything like that. But
hopefully it's yearly
competition.
That would be good if it's nice yearly.
I'm going to take a guess that it is not yearly, given the commitment that has to be made.
I think biannually is perfect. And I believe that what we're seeing right now is going to be a good system. 2 years allows not only room for that person to get into the groove and be able to make things work. We'll see how Channel does next year. Everything may be very smooth because they got all their learning lessons out of the way this year.
Well, that's fair.
At the end of that second year, not only should have Channel have learned, but this also gives their competitors an idea of exactly how the tournament series was run and what they would have to do to be better to make it run.
I mean, they had to create a company from the ground up, right? They literally had to hire employees at whatever point they got the contract and learn how to do this massive across the world.
We don't have to suck up to Channel Fireball.
Not sucking up to anybody, man. That's just the reality.
They're doing fine.
Yeah. All right.
So Fireball hasn't ruined Magic for anybody, so that's good.
Is it chip time, guys?
Keep up the good work, Channel Fireball, and keep following me on Twitter. That makes me feel like a real person.
I think it's chip time.
I think we're going to do Pick of the Week, or...
Oh, yeah, Ryan's forcing us to do Pick of the Week.
I already said Rainbow Veil.
No, our Patreons who go to patreon.com/brainstormbrewery and give us $10 per month, which is only like $2.50 per episode, get access to a spreadsheet where we update our Picks of the Week and our Breaking Bulk Picks on Monday night when we record, and they have them 4 to 5 days earlier than everybody else. So that's a service they pay for, so we should give them both a Breaking Bulk and Pick of the Week because they support us. Thank you so much for being our patrons.
So if you got 5 episodes in a month, that's only $2 an episode, right?
That's correct.
Oh, man. That's correct. Man, that's pretty good.
That's 20 cents to have the $1 access to our Discord. That's nothing.
The you can't Discord buy anything is pretty for 20 fun, cents. Too, actually. Discord is.
Yeah, Discord's gotten real dank lately with the memes. I really.
That is a good way to describe it.
Yeah.
Oh, Throne of Geth spiked.
Yep.
Oh, Jesus, Corbin.
Remember when I called that one? I called that one.
You called it after it spiked, but not after it spiked again.
What are you talking about? I called it like 2 weeks ago.
It was your Breaking Bulk.
Hey, yeah, I'm the one that actually had a deck with Throne of Geth, so I don't want to hear none of that.
I did it. I also just bought an oppression for my deck, and apparently it spiked too. What the heck? Omnath Locus of Rage spiked? I'm sorry, I'm catching up.
Yeah, same as Gitrog Monster. The exact same reason, the exact same
time. Yeah, it's just
the podcast you listen to so that Corbin can tell you what you already knew.
Jesus. Oh, man.
Hey, man, I just hadn't looked at the cards. Ooh. And he spiked literally today. Get off my back.
No. Yeah, I didn't know about Corbin, Omnath. That's awesome.
If your brand is going to be talking about cards after they spike and then taking credit for them, there's somebody out there already doing that, so that's kind of his brand.
Okay. Hey, dude, this allows some seepage.
What spiked a week ago?
Omnath.
Not according to mtgstocks.com, which says it spiked yesterday.
The source.
I mean, it went from $7 medium to $15 medium literally today, man. Like, I don't know.
Why is Throne of Geth
talking? I don't know.
Omnath isn't $15 medium.
According to
MTG. It's $8. Stocks. Go on TCG Player. $7.34 is the market price.
Enhance. Yeah,
Ryan, we said median, bro.
975.
Enhance.
I already told you where I got my information from. If you want to take it up with MTG Stocks.
I'm going to the place where they actually draw the information.
Okay, you're welcome to take it up with MTG Stocks if you want.
Why is this episode's been real contentious? I don't like the vibe.
I just like going to the place where the information is actually.
Corbin's been arguing with Ryan about everything, ranging from the price of a card, which has a set value based in fact to whom T-Swift is dating, and I feel like that's a bad group dynamic. The five of us should not get together, and I blame DJ because we did this for hundreds of episodes without a problem, and then DJ comes along and
that's
all of a sudden
true.
We're fighting.
We never argued with Ryan
along,
before
there were
DJ
people who actually
along.
Didn't know if you guys were friends.
Yeah, we never argued with
we're,
Ryan
we're not
DJ
friends
along.
Yeah.
I don't
no
need
new friends.
I don't need any new friends. I got my old friends like Joey D, who finally won a PPTQ.
Oh my god, nobody
and
cares.
He's going to be sponsored by Brainstorm Brewery.
Wow, that's so mean, Corbin. Joey D has been very avid and great fan of ours for years.
When he gets on the Pro Tour, then I'll be excited.
No, you know what?
No, you
I
won't,
because
you're a
Bah
Humbug.
His wedding to go to Vegas, so
I'm a Bah Humbug. Wow.
So yeah, the man's gonna be he's the second coming of Ray Perez according to us and our sponsorship of him.
I don't know about all that, but
well, Ray Perez is currently out there, so he'll probably be at the same RPTQ, so that'll be interesting.
Probably.
So yeah, congrats, Joey D. I shit on you 4 weeks in a row for always losing in the top eight of PPTQs. You finally did it. You're a sponsory of this podcast. Congrats. Continue wearing the shirt and using the mat just like you did when you weren't sponsored. And thanks for being a bud. And thanks for supporting this podcast. And thanks to all our patrons for supporting us.
All right, that's your pick of the week. Jason's just trying to put off this chip.
I'm not trying to put off the chip.
Yes, you are. You're doing a good job stalling.
Definitely.
No, I think it's a good idea. I drank enough that I think it's... Dude, I had a one pint of a Belgian quad, so I'm feeling no pain right now. I don't think this chip will affect me whatsoever.
All right,
we'll see.
Famous last words.
No one's died from a chip.
All right, let's do
famous last words.
Wait, George Bush almost died from a pretzel. What if I choke on this chip like George W. Bush?
I mean, did you do the things he did? There's such thing as instant karma. I think you're all right.
He also painted some pictures of soldiers coming back from the war feeling sad, and I feel like that has redeemed him somewhat.
You know, no, all I got to say is, in perspective, he all of a sudden he looks a lot less worse.
Right?
That's true.
Mission accomplished,
you're
everybody.
You're shitting on half our listeners.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. Pick of the week, pick of the week, pick of the week. Time for the pick of the week.
Well, I was going to pick Rainbow Veil, but I got another one. Am I supposed to just tell this card, or
yes,
am I supposed to guess
it?
Okay.
Comment
it.
No, make
Isolated Watchtower. Has that card been done?
What card?
Isn't that the new
Isolated Watchtower
this week card?
Commander 18 card, yes.
No, okay. We haven't done a card that came out literally last week.
Okay, so Isolated Watchtower is a $2 card. And the main reason I like this card is because it gives any color that is not already ramping the ability to do so if any opponent in your game is ramping. And as any control player knows, it is really miserable sometimes to have to jam a bunch of mana rocks in your deck and not be able to put enough answers. And I feel like a card like this, while easily tutorable with things like Talaria West and stuff, also give you the option to be able to keep ahead of your opponent. And so it taps for a colorless. You can pay two and tap it to scry one, then you may reveal the top. Then you may reveal the top card of your library. If it's a basic land card, it's revealed this way. Put it into the battlefield tapped. Activate this ability only if your opponent controls at least two more lands than you.
This is a really, really, really bad scrying sheet.
I want to like this, but the basic...
Scrying sheets doesn't put it into play, though, does it?
Oh, it has to be a basic land?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm out.
Yeah, basic land, and they have to have more than you, and...
I don't necessarily think that's bad. And again, I think that everyone's thinking about these three, four-color decks.
They made this card better, and then it was too good, and then they erred on the side of making it too bad, and now it's too bad. It's too bad.
I don't necessarily think so. I think this is.
You think it hits five? You think it hits $5-6 that it needs to hit for you to make any money buying it too?
It's colorless, absolutely.
It's colorless, but it only goes in monocolor decks, though.
He answered the question, guys. He's allowed to be wrong.
Yeah,
he's allowed to be right too. He's gonna. Oh man, can you imagine if he's gonna be right on this? So
MDG Ryan.
I'm not saying this is gonna be a tomorrow thing either. I'm talking like this is probably a year down
Six,
the road at least.
7 years down the road.
No,
he gets one OBS issue.
This will get reprinted
twice
in the next 7 years.
I mean, obviously, reprints aside.
Who's next?
But...
Who's next? Marcel.
I got one. I actually don't. What did you say, Marcel? And I say I got one.
Did.
Oh, well, by all means.
No, go right ahead. It's okay, Jason.
Oh, okay.
I'm having a hard time deciding between which two versions of this.
Marcel's is Scalding Tarn anyway, so.
Yeah, that's true.
More like Scalding Tarn, because he's scolding Wizards for not reprinting it.
So mine's right now is going to be Gitaxian Probe.
Yeah?
This is a cool
card that just
modern.
Got banned in Vintage.
Yeah?
Restriction.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I got it in my storm deck right here, and I got to take it out because
God from the vault pick of the week.
Oh my God.
Now, you know what? So Git Probe gets unbanned, it's going to go right back up, and everyone's going to be surprised. So Marcel's playing the long con.
All
right,
Jason, go ahead. One.
Okay, I don't know which version of this to pick for the spreadsheet because this is a $2 buy-a box foil and a $4 set foil.
Okay.
I don't really hate either version of Scrap Trawler.
You know, I've thought about that too. I do think the deck it's in is going to get banned, though.
KCI.
Yeah.
But, well, Scrap Trawler is also useful in EDH. That's why I initially picked it. Like, we did the set review. I said this card's nuts. And it was like a bulk rare.
I agree.
Yeah, the last time you picked this card was 9 months ago.
Okay. What? Oh, shit. Okay, I got a different one. Inspiring Statuary, then. Since I've already picked Scrap Trawler, I think Inspiring Statuary is never going to get cheaper. And I think with Bruticlad and all, and what is the guy that makes Thopters?
Psy Master Thopters.
Yeah, yeah. I think your artifact tokens being able to tap and help you cast your spells. Inspiring Statuary is it's like a buck right now. It's the cheapest it's going to be. It's not going to even go down at rotation because it couldn't get any cheaper.
I think this
Inspiring
is a good pick.
Statuary is a $5 card long term. I think load up now while you can.
Do you like foils at $2?
Yeah, I really like foils of this. I like foil Panharmonicon at $9 also.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So like, just write foil Inspiring Statuary at $2 in the spreadsheet.
Anyone
who listens to this podcast gets way more value than just that. But spreadsheet people are going to get a little something, something. So thanks for being a subscriber.
So my card here is one that no one's ever going to want to pick. It's called Sandworm Convergence.
Okay.
This was the card that I had the most fun with when playing in Standard this past year. So this card is fantastic, and I don't think it's ever going to get reprinted again. And there's things you could do with this card. It closes games out. So I think at 50 cents, it's pure bulk. Get your card, sit on it. Over time, it'll be a $5 card.
I do think it won all of these at 50 cents.
Yeah, no. I wish... The thing about Sandworm Convergence is a little bit too much mana to be, like, decent in, like, EDH. Like, we just saw Estrid come out, right? And Estrid kind of behooves you to build sort of a cage of these, like, propaganda slash... You know, Ghostly Prison / Sphere of Safety. I kind of like this in that build, but I think it's a little bit too much mana. And I think if you can't make the cut in that sort of a build, it's tough. I don't think it has a deck yet. So
no, it probably doesn't have a deck because you're correct. It is.
But I don't see how it hits $5 without having a deck. But I like
Sandworm
Convergence. And anyone who's had one resolved on the table across from them knows how fucking miserable it is to try to win a game of Magic through a Sandworm Convergence. I get it.
I will say that it's doubled in price from a year ago, from 25 cents to 50 cents.
Just over time. It'll be $5 before it becomes reprinted.
You know what? Ooh. I'm not going to bet against this. I won't bet against it.
Good. All right, I've got one here.
DJ will bet against it, but I won't.
Remember when we did Battle Bond, and I liked the lands the best out of it to hold value, and they have held value. But more than that, we've seen a couple of them start to tick up in price, the blue one specifically. But I'm going to go ahead and pick Spire Garden this week.
Spire Garden is a red-green one?
It is, under $5. And the other is like Morphic Tide has been climbing up. Sea of Clouds, I believe
Morphic
is what it's called.
Pools, I thought. Is it Morphic Pool or Morphic Tide?
Morphic Pools. I'm not sure what I said.
You don't even know what the cards are called.
Sorry.
I just don't like the name.
I don't know what any
one.
Cards are called.
I don't Spire like the Garden name of the red green one. It doesn't resonate as like a red green card to me.
I agree, but whatever. I mean,
then how did I guess it based on the name?
Because none of the other four ones are like correct. The other four lands are like noticeable.
So I got
well, to be fair though, DJ, when you think the word spire is most often attached to red cards in Magic, and garden is pretty clearly green.
It is spire. Yeah, spire is mostly used for red cards, but the word spire itself for me doesn't evoke red. Okay,
well, sure. Lightning Bolt Growth tells you red green, and Lightning Bolt Growth is not a good name for a land either.
Sure. Anyways, it's the one that hasn't started climbing up yet, whereas the others have. So that's,
are people just not buying boxes? Because we're seeing $18 on Arcane Artisan. We're seeing $25 on the...
no one touched Battle Bond. They probably underprinted it on top of everything else.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't think we have any in the store. And it's not like we sold a bunch. I don't know. It's basically going to do nothing to doubling season, that's for sure.
So I think the set kind of accomplished what it set out to do, which was increase card availability.
Correct.
But not decrease prices. So
well, it decreased Wizards prices in their mandate
to increase card availability actually succeed. Hey, man, I super, super love Battle. I like Conspiracy, too. I still like Conspiracy, too. Well, I like Battle Bonds. So, hey, if the lands are worth $10 a piece in a year, great.
Well, like, I mean, it did accomplish its thing. Stuff like Nirvana Revenant went from 20 to, you know, 5.
Nirvana Revenant?
Say that card again.
Oh, my gosh. It's because I'm scared of the
hey,
ship.
Can't wait, think straight. I got a new complaint. Too
many Nirvana Revenant is now $5. All right, DJ.
My pick of the week is a card that you can either play in the Estrid deck to mess with a bunch of other people, or you can have your opponent wreck you with the Estrid deck, and then you go buy one of these, and the game becomes a lot more manageable. It also works against the Saheeli deck. Aura of Silence has gone a while without a reprint.
Yeah, I really kind of thought it would just get jammed in the Estrid deck.
Yeah, and it didn't. And it's like 3 to 4 right now, but it's from Weatherlight, and it's only gotten like one?
It's got no, it's two? It's gotten a couple, right?
It was an
it's,
uncommon uncommon
it was
in 10th
like
edition.
Edition or something like that, right?
It was an uncommon in 10th edition, and it was in Commander 2015.
Yeah.
That's it?
And it's an FNM promo.
No, no, no. It was in 10th, Commander 2015, Weatherlight, and there was a FNM promo.
Yeah. That's what I just said.
I knew it had the commander anything about the FNM promo. I forgot about 10th edition, and I did not even know it had an FNM promo, so that's cool.
Well, the FNM promo is $16. So
the FNM promo just spiked, as a matter of fact, actually.
Of course it did.
Okay.
Like, and you know what? Yeah. None of us on this podcast said shit about it, so shame on us. I was thinking Sterling Grove and not Aura of Silence, and that's where I got messed up.
Well, I mean, it's not like that was wrong. But DJ's right. Aura of Silence is climbing pretty steadily here. It's gone from 2 to 3 over the course of the past month. I wouldn't be surprised if you see it hit 5.
Yeah, and I think this card is a good example of a lot of the complaints about this year's Commander products, where there just wasn't a lot of value reprints. And I'm not even talking like, oh, we didn't get another Wyrmcoil Engine. Eh, there's just a lot of like $3 to $4 cards missing from these decks that just could have been...
Well, and the problem is when those cards don't get reprinted, like Gitrog Monster and Angry Omnath didn't, they spike just on principle. So like they have to realize...
Well, the thing though
hey,
is... With
like when we don't print a card, that sends a message to the market also. When they're hiring somebody to do that sort of analysis... And they have to have a master's in econ, so I can't even apply for the job. So
the thing
I hope
is,
somebody smart gets that job.
With Aura of Silence, I think they specifically did not want to print cards that hosed the other decks.
Yeah.
Enchanter's Bane.
I don't know.
Well, that one's different. Like
I mean, Aura of Silence. Imagine just playing Aura of Silence, and then your opponent, when you're playing precons, is playing the enchantment deck, and now everything they cost is super taxed. And whatever they play that is good, it's going to get killed later. Like that would not lead to a very fun experience. I understand why it wasn't.
Yeah, there's a difference between cards that will deal you damage based on what is in play versus cards that don't let you play Magic.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, it's not at all surprising me to Aura of Silence.
Well, Sterling Grove then would have been like a
Sterling Grove would have been a good one. I agree.
I don't know what sort of constraints they're under. I don't know what Hasbro being in the mix puts on them. I don't know what their job is like. I just think they could have done a better job, and I think they will next year.
Yep. All right, is it chip time, guys? I think it might really be chip time now.
I think this should be like a separate recording, right?
Yeah, but it's going to go up.
So we should probably like outro this podcast in a constructive way.
Okay.
Cut everything I'm saying right now, and then
okay. All right.
So like let's do a good outro and then. Don't tell me to shut up. My fucking daughter told me to shut up today. You know what happened?
You didn't do nothing.
I couldn't do shit. What am I going to do, spank her? And then she's got a sex fetish? I'm not spanking her. Like, I know you're not supposed to hit your kid, but like, you're definitely, as a dad, not supposed to hit your daughter. Right? Because like, I don't want Oh, man.
This research says you should not spank kids.
No, every girl that I've been with that asked me to spank her had, daddy issues. So, I just don't... of the research, anecdotally, I don't think it's...
And now we all know that.
But I kind of think that I'm screwed either way. Because, she's going to be in her dorm room with her boyfriend, I just need something to send me over... Take my iPad away! Yeah, tell me you're not mad, but you're disappointed. Yeah, it's what I need.
Oh, man. How long have you worked on that one?
Even if I don't hit her, I think I'm kind of screwed no matter what.
Wow.
What are you going to do?
Is that your ongoing bit? Are you adding to it?
Yeah. All right, everybody.
Does that sound rehearsed?
Very, very.
It did, yeah.
Because I had multiple tags ready.
2 years ago, maybe it would have been very nice, but now, no, you could do better. Come on, Jason, strive. You're doing well.
That bit kills. I don't want to hear it from you.
I'm tired of your shit. Anyway, this is episode 300. And they're going to continue on.
This is Sparta!
But you may say, yeah, oh God.
But, is this where we get to leave now?
Yes, we're out of here. But you're going to see more of me or Ryan, and we'll come back on. I think DJ is going to get elevated to actual host.
No.
Whoa!
No. Don't be.
What?
You can't be making changes like that.
What?
I said he might. Keyword.
Who's he
going to
replace? Corbin? This is
if
a four man cast.
I'm fine with him replacing Corbin.
Look,
Jason,
he's okay.
I'm going to need something to hold their self esteem together, so I'm fine being just relegated.
Marcel will pretend that he'll make DJ a permanent host, but he won't add him to the group text chat. So I have to have two separate brains.
There's no way. We can't add anyone to that group chat. Granted, it's not like he gets all the old texts.
No, right, it's not your old phone where it would crash if we had two messages in a day.
That's true.
Ryan, can you get a new headset? You're like, sorry, my phone caught fire because you sent me two text messages.
You know how to handle the signal from Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's it, man.
That's
a find a way
to
turn it back on.
He was on a Nokia N-Gage in those days.
Yeah. Didn't know how to process the binder twine.
This is episode 300, part one, everybody. Thank you for listening. By the way, stick around. It's going to be some shit.
It's not stick around. It's going to be a separate recording. What are you talking stick around?
It's going to be added on. Yeah. It's going to be a separate recording.
I don't want anyone to see me cry. I'm going to cry.
Oh. Man, that's just like your baby, right? You're having a hissy fit. This guy will wait. And wait.
Dude, don't even compare me to that little piece of shit.
So wait, are we eating the entire chip, or are we just doing a bite?
No, what? You're eating the whole thing.
It's a chip! A chip is a bite!
Did you open it yet?
No.
Oh my goodness. Alright,
he didn't. He can smell it. Oh, DJ's already
No, you get
cracked
the
seal.
You open it on camera so you don't think that I swapped out a spicy Dorito
I didn't open the plastic wrapper.
Good, don't. I don't even know that there's plastic wrap. All I've seen is the outer thing.
JJ,
okay, someone
rolling start. You got to keep all that. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the 1,000 Chip Challenge or the Fiery Chip Challenge or some shit, the One Chip
Challenge. It's the 1,000 Chip Challenge, Marcel. We spent $60,000, and we're going to eat 1,000 of these chips each.
They got Scovilles. Scovilles.
They cost $60 each.
They're a collector's item. They sold out. They're $3 MSRP, and they sold out. They're the Planeswalker decks.
Oh, so you got price gouges.
They're the San Diego promos.
No, we negotiated the price.
You negotiated the price with who? A terrorist?
a chip haver.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Look,
did your first offer get rejected or not?
Well, these are the
70, and I talked them down to 60.
We are old. These are old chips, so they're not even I think they might be less hot, but they also might be rancid.
They're gonna be stale as shit. You guys are.
They're sealed in foil. They're not gonna be stale per se, but I think maybe. I think some of the capsaicin may have broken down. Somebody said the oil might be rancid, but I don't think that'll be an issue. I think these will be less hot than 2018 chips if they made those, but this was all we had affordably. We paid $50 a chip or something like that. We paid a lot of money for these.
All right, Jason, and what's your strategy for eating this?
Okay, so I got two pieces of bread here. I have some ice cream. I got a small amount of ice cream. I wish I had more. I have some milk here, and I have some beer. So I can kind of think all that stuff is going to be enough. If I have to vomit, I'm going to do it off camera. No, you know what? I will stand up and do it on camera.
Cause that's what I like to hear, my man.
I'm not wearing right. pants, and I don't want to stand up per se.
I've got some ice cream, and I've got a chocolate chip cookie that Marianne made.
Is that a pot cookie? Because that might help.
It's not. No, it's just a normal chocolate chip cookie. Cookie. And I've got a chip.
We can't talk about those things on this podcast.
All right, so. Are we ready? Well, DJ, on, what are you doing? DJ, what's your strategy?
Ryan, on this podcast, the F word is fisting. I think we'll be okay talking about some.
I have some mint chocolate chip ice cream here. I have milk in a Brainstorm Brewery glass.
Nice.
It
good
is
call.
Fat free. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's better or worse EV than whole. I have this handful of cyanide capsules here ready to take my own life. No, they're actually Tums.
a handful of cyanide? You need one cyanide capsule. How much? You weigh 40 pounds. You need half a cyanide. You can split a cyanide capsule.
You just have to breathe
someone.
In the fumes from someone else's cyanide.
All right. Let's do this, please.
You can hotbox some cyanide.
Please, let's get this over with. Please.
Okay, so here we have my sealed.
Are you all going at the same time?
Chip.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm oh, so show the my, box. Everyone show the
my
box.
My unopened
for your
box
camera.
For the camera. I haven't the opened box. The box yet. All I definitely right. did not go through and switch this with a sweet and spicy Dorito, which is my favorite flavored Dorito. I'm thinking that spiciness is going to get me through this challenge.
Let's
Thanks
go,
everyone.
So I've opened up.
The I'm package. Opening
JJ,
the box.
JJ, go by and make everyone big, full screen. Show the box up there so people can see with detail that no one's lying.
Now inside it says how to enter the one chip challenge. Step one: eat the chip. Step two is prove it. Take a video of your attempt and post it. Tag Packy Tortillas on social media and include One Chip Challenge and hashtag sweeps. I don't think we want anyone to know that we cried. So inside the box, there's no turning back once you enter homemade hell.
Hey, so I want to mention to everyone, me and Ryan cannot see these guys do this, so we're going to watch this.
Yeah, but you're
going to
hear
us. Yeah, we're going to hear you.
We're going to hear it. Okay. The thing I'm most excited about is it was revealed beforehand that two people on here have a little bit of experience with some hot stuff, and one person has virtually zero.
I discussed this already. Experience.
I'm opening this chip and I'm putting it in my mouth.
Okay, no, don't yet. I'm showing
you. Got to do it together. You don't want to reveal anything.
Foil.
You got to go at the
same
foil. Time.
If I hear you scream like in agony before
I
do this.
Can I eat this chip yet? It's not going to be a big deal.
No, count us down. Count us down.
5, 4, 3, 2,
oh, God.
1. Lift off!
I better hear crunching.
Oh, shit.
I took a bite.
No, you didn't.
Get the whole thing in your mouth.
No, you didn't.
Oh, it tastes really bad.
Oh, good. Corbin's coughing. Is DJ responsive?
I'm alive right now.
Okay.
My tongue's starting to tingle.
Oh, so this ain't nothing.
Yeah, I think the chips are too old. No. Nope. I misspoke. My mouth is on fire.
Okay. So you gotta wait a minute. You gotta let it go.
Oh, geez, yep. My tongue hurts a lot.
Yeah. I got some of it on my lips.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Do you guys all eat the whole thing? I'm hiccuping.
That's not good. I don't want to be hiccuping.
Oh, you're burping. Oh, yeah, you're fucking
doing
it. Oh,
that's a bad place to be.
Yeah.
Don't drink the milk.
Oh, they're gonna be hurting. Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
How's Corbin doing?
Where is he at?
I don't want to drink anything and look like a pussy.
I already died.
Something in my throat.
I drank mine with some milk.
Oh, Corbin's not even doing anything. Oh, damn.
Oh.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Coming in handy, everybody.
Hey,
come to find out when
clutch.
You destroy your
that
taste
was not
buds
a bad
for 10 years.
Tip. That was not a
Guys,
bad
Guys, that
tip.
Was literally not a big deal. My eye is, like, watering a little. It was not that big of a deal.
My eyes are watering a lot. Corbin got a defective chip.
I did fail to swallow it the first time, and that was the worst part. And so
well,
kind of my throat.
I think DJ's losing
it?
His bet.
Corbin, did you bite into the chip?
Yeah. I bit into the chip, and then I took a drink,
okay.
and I swallowed it. Like, I chewed it up, and it's a big chip. You can't see it. It's a big chip. I had to chew it up.
It's a regular tortilla-sized chip.
So you ate the chip with the milk?
I chewed the chip, and then I swallowed it with milk.
Oh, you pussy.
Oh, my God.
Are you not allowed to do that?
That is cheating.
That's cheating.
I chewed the chip.
I can't see how long I could go without having any milk, and you're over here, oh, I fucking filled my mouth with milk.
I like milk.
That's such a Corbin thing to do. Chocolate chip
cookie my wife made.
All right, Corbin sucks.
I'm trying not to touch my eyes.
I'm in pain right now.
Oh, I forgot about that. I just wiped my eye.
You dipshit.
That's what you get.
I hope your eye light's on fire.
When I'm every time I'm not fine, but when I'm not drinking milk, it hurts.
I chewed the chip, and then I drank milk and swallowed it.
I want to hear the two people suffer.
It's like, it's no big deal. I just ate the chip with some milk. It's no big deal, man. This chip is nothing.
Yeah, I just threw the chip in a gallon of milk and then drank the gallon of milk.
It's a dry chip, man. Right?
It's a dry chip. Your mouth is like dry. I mean,
man, you eat.
Do you take a drink after every tortilla chip you eat?
You eat cheese.
No, but I dip them in salsa.
And you eat.
I dip them in salsa so they have liquid on them to help swallow them.
You eat peanut butter Ritz. You eat dry shit all the time.
That's not true. I eat them with cheese.
You put cheese on a peanut butter Ritz?
No, I eat the Ritz bits with cheese.
Oh.
Not with peanut butter.
It's still dry.
That shit's still dry. Yeah.
And I drink some dehydrated
cheese. This is getting worse.
Yeah. Agree.
Oh, wow. DJ.
I feel bad for DJ because I feel like I can't see it, but I feel like he's like cowering in the corner away from his microphone at this point. DJ, like, so fetal position.
If I can constantly drink milk and eat ice cream for like the next 20 minutes, I'll be fine, but I don't think that's sustainable.
Yeah, same here.
My mouth is, What? Anybody want another?
Shut up.
So, Ryan, would you do this?
What, do you have enough milk to fucking swallow it with milk, you cheater?
Are you asking if I would do this?
With milk, man. I chewed it up, and then I put milk in my mouth, and I swallowed it.
Why do my lips hurt? It didn't touch my lips.
Did you ask if I would do this, Ryan?
Yeah, would you do this, Ryan?
Probably not. I mean, if we were all in person, maybe, but I wouldn't just suffer here alone.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so bad. I mean,
this just sounds horrible.
Yeah, it does. DJ, how are you doing?
I thought it was fine.
Talk to us. What are you going through right now?
Pain. DJ, where are you at, buddy?
Not great.
So describe the pain. Is it a burning pain? Is it a sharp?
Yep.
Where is it? Is it in your stomach or where is it directed?
This is the worst pain I've ever experienced in my mouth and throat, for sure.
Oh, so it's all down your throat into your stomach.
Would feel it, man. I can feel it in my throat. It's hot.
So imagine this coming out. You guys are going to shit up some nasty shit.
Oh yeah, no, you're next. There's going to be there.
It's hot, but like it's just
there will
like,
be blood.
You guys all got squatty potties right at home. Because you're going to need it for this one.
I've eaten so much bad Buffalo Wild Wings in my life. That Squatty Potty.
Have you eaten any good Buffalo Wild Wings? Buffalo Wild Wings is bad.
Set yourself up for that one.
This bread is just from my lips.
My Squatty Potty does work. All right.
It's going to do some work after this.
Now, I'm just going to stand with my butt a foot away from the bowl and just.
That did. It just like instantly cleared out my sinuses. My nose is running.
I wish I brought more milk. I wish I brought the whole gallon.
Just put your face in it.
No, you're right. Don't. It's not going away, though.
I could do
hot.
Another chip.
You could. Huh? Okay.
I could do another chip.
I'd see.
How about you, DJ? One?
So
I'd rather not.
DJ, how much of yours is left?
The chip?
Did you eat the
whole chip? I ate
it all.
Oh, did you? Oh. Good job.
All right.
I feel like
it is still really hot though.
It's
So you guys covered now, right? I mean, are you past the storm, Jason? It sounds like DJ is still kind of just stomaching it. Corbin obviously gave up in the first round, so
I didn't give. What is this? I chewed up the chip.
Dude, I tried to see how long I could go without milk. I thought that's what we were doing.
I chewed up the chip and then drank milk like you're supposed to do.
Corbin didn't.
I didn't know I wasn't
supposed to play the same game.
Exactly. Exactly.
Look, I got a little bit of chip left here. I'm gonna eat it.
You didn't even eat all the chip? God, Corbin's such a pussy.
No, no. As retribution, you need to crush up that chip and snort the rest of it.
Oh,
it was a crumb, and I already ate it.
Why don't you lick the bag that it was in?
Oh, it's real hot, though. That's a hot chip.
Do you have any hot tips for hot chips now, DJ? You fucking pussy.
Oh, my nose.
His hot tips were right. He said eating Buffalo Wild Wings would destroy your taste buds enough that this wouldn't impact you.
This is true. It was an actual hot tip that was the right tip.
I got no ice cream and no milk, and it's still hot.
The thing is, it is really hot, and it's still my nose is just like running nonstop.
I don't care for this.
All right. So how much longer do you guys go? How long does people watch?
DJ's friend said 10 minutes.
Has DJ puked yet?
No. He was hacking a minute ago.
Oh.
I think he's good.
So you got to go for 10 minutes. Okay.
I think we made it.
I'm good. No. You're at 6 minutes.
Fuck you.
You got another 4 minutes to go.
For another one.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Corbin's fine. Corbin only, you know, ate essentially 10% of the chips.
That's not true.
What a pussy.
There's the same amount of milk and chip in my body as Jason.
Yeah, but you dulled it.
That's
you
not...
Coated you, you essentially
but the
coated
whole point of
tongue.
The chip is not that it... The whole point of the chip is not that it's just instantly hot. It's that it sticks with you, right?
Yeah,
it doesn't make
right.
a difference.
But you coated your mouth first.
No, dude, I ate the chip, and then I swallowed the milk.
The thing is,
I was
going to
gargle Orajel before this, and I wish I had.
So, Corbin, the issue is here. Look, all right. I know you feel attacked, and I know you feel like you had to be defensive about the situation. What we're complaining about is your instinct was to eat the chip with the milk. Because right now, Jason and DJ, they ate the chip. They're chewing on it. It's marinating in their mouth. They're going through the whole gamut of the pain, where you chose to nullify that instantly because your first instinct was, I don't want to feel the pain. So we're razzing you for that ultimately because you just were coward.
I might throw up, but it's not from the chip. It's just from the amount of dairy.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I told you was going to happen. You don't want to drink too much milk, man.
I feel like it's attenuated a
you
little.
Also got, you
it's
also
still
got
hot,
fat
but it's
free,
not as hot
is,
like,
as
it was.
Not going to do anything for you.
So see, no one told me, look, I chewed up the chip in my mouth. It coated my mouth. Then I drank milk as I swallowed, which is what I thought we were supposed to do.
Really? Because guess who's tweeting that Corbin cheated at the one chip challenge?
Is
you're
going to
tweet about
Jason?
That and not about him talking about things coating his mouth? And then... Never mind.
I found some more chip. I'm eating this little crumb too.
I hope it gets stuck in your sinus.
That was good.
DJ disagrees. Except for that, like, heavy breathing.
I do round two.
Okay.
I mean, you set it up for Vegas or something. I'm sure you can convince me to make this mistake.
We can do a buffalo, a super ultra buffalo wild wing.
Wait, guys, I found a big chunk of it in my keyboard. Wait.
You didn't even get the thing in your mouth in the first place.
No, part of it cracked off when I bit into it.
Oh,
yeah.
Because the chip's too big. The chip's too big to get in your mouth all at once.
God.
If DJ, the 12-year-old, got the whole thing in his mouth at once, you could have done it, Corbin.
He didn't.
Corbin, how do you sleep at night?
I have no appropriate response to that.
On a big puddle of milk, apparently. You know what? It's gotten a lot better. It's gotten a lot better.
All right.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel a little better in terms of
heat. that was a rough 10 minutes there.
All right.
I feel like another couple of beers and then thrown up in my toilet sobbing, I'll be red as rain.
I feel very close to vomiting, but it's definitely from the amount of dairy and not the heat at this point.
Good work, team. Good work. Good work. Patrons, do you have any other ideas for things like this we can do?
Fuck you. Let's not talk about that right now.
I think you could do better than this one. Like, the next one's got
to
be...
I'm willing to give this one
better
a...
than the... I don't want to feel worse than this.
I don't want to...
Yeah,
I think you go with
the next one's the Ultimate Sour Challenge. There's one out there where they like it's, like, infinitely worse than Warheads.
I don't know if I'm into that life.
No, I don't think you guys need to go through pain. I think it needs to be an embarrassing situation. Because obviously, guys,
I'll show my dick on camera.
No, I mean like a public embarrassment, like kind of like what Jason did with the Guy Fieri, even though kind of like backfired and he embraced the, you know, the persona full wholeheartedly.
That wasn't embarrassing at all.
All right, here's what I'll say:
the heat is pretty much gone, but I still just feel very nauseous.
The heat is gone.
So how would you rate the pain? I mean, on your level, DJ, from 1 to 10.
I would, if I had let it go without like if I had, if I was chained in a room without any milk or ice cream, it would have hit a 10. Nah. But I think I prevented it from going above like a 7 or an 8.
Okay. So would you do ever do
this again? I would say that it was like a 5.
Corbin, we don't care what you think. It like you got different results.
It's not even true. They drank their
it
milk
was like
when
double sriracha. That's what I would. I think the chips are too old. I think it could get way hotter than that if we got brand new chips.
It was double.
Because they were
sriracha,
Carolina Reapers. They don't fuck with you, man.
Look, double man, sriracha? I'm willing to throw this down to any listeners who think they have what it takes to stack up with me on spicy food. We'll put it together. We're planning a Brainstorm Brewery Summit at a GP next year.
Oh, and yeah, and Corbin will drink whatever with a mouthful of milk in it.
Anybody who wants to bring it on, I'm here for it.